When asked about herself, Karen called herself an old soul, a turtle, and a writer. She didn't define herself as someone with lupus, a disease to which we still haven't found the cure. She's passed a boundary that people can't relate to, is where it began.
When I was in high school, a good friend of my mom's had lupus. And I didn't understand the degree of the disease, so I'd probably learn more about it. And my first reaction was to freak out. Because it just, you know, sounded like the end of the world in terms of what you could have. And then they tested me for Hodgkin's disease, you know, a form of cancer. And when they thought it was Hodgkin's disease, ironically, I was more relieved about that. They said, well, you know, they got chemotherapy and they can, you know. But then when they determined that it was probably lupus, I was like, well, okay. So I set out to learn what I could and try and, you know, eat healthily and make sure I worked out and go to my doctor's appointment. In fact, I wasn't showing any signs of a flare until, or problems, until 2004. So, my first reaction after sort of calming down from the testing and doing checks was to say, okay, how am I going to live with this? 2004, I had fibroid tumors that were in my uterus, so my it was causing some problems, and they needed to be removed. They were peach-sized. There were like six of them. But it was one of those gynecological things where, you know, how is it impacting your life? And it was making a really big impact in terms of hormonal and cycling, you know, your cycle and stuff like that. So I had them removed and I was recovering nicely. And then I caught an upper respiratory infection. Now, I was still healing from the surgery, but my body was so busy trying to heal from the surgery that when I got the upper respiratory infection, it went into hyperdrive and turned the upper respiratory infection / cold into lupus pneumonia. So my very first day back to work, which is a Friday, I barely could get to work, and I literally, where I live here in Center City, I'm a 4-minute walk across the street to where my office was. And it took me almost 20 minutes to half an hour to get to the front door because I was having trouble breathing. And my color changed while I was in the office, and one of my friends said, we're taking you to the emergency room. You know, take what you need, but we're taking you to the emergency room. And they did, and they kept me, and I was there for almost a month. And that was my 40th birthday. I spent my 40th birthday in the hospital on the fourth floor of Presbyterian. They were nice in dietary, the dietary people, the people who make meals, they made me a cake. And I still say to this day, it was probably the best birthday. Because as a person of faith, as a Christian, it made me reevaluate, like, you know, what was important and what was not.
One of the interesting things about Karen is that before she had lupus, she had had an amazing career.
In litigation, I think I've represented every department in the city pretty much, but they focus mostly on those departments. And police department. So I worked before I started working in the city when I graduated from law school, and after I passed bar, I was a judicial law clerk for one of the Court of Common Pleas judges, Judge Frederick Messiah Jackson. Great experience. And clerkships are hard to get, you know, so they're very competitive, so I was very fortunate. The higher up in the court you go, like if you are a Supreme Court law clerk, who are basically lawyers who ask a bar, but they're working for a judge, you're in the top 0.0001% of the best lawyers in this, whatever. So even at the state level, trial court law clerks. You may be the first rung, and then you have the appellate courts, but getting any type of clerkship is hard. And the judge interviewed me, thought I would be a good fit, and it was a good year. And then I went to work for the city, and then my doctor told me, your lupus has got too bad, and you've got to retire.
While Karen had told us how lupus had affected her emotionally, had affected her physically, and affected her economically, she still had not told us about how it had affected her socially.
I had a friend tell me once, everybody knows that you were sick but you, and you need to take it easier. A friend of mine who is a doctor who works for the city, little did I know that when he would give me a hug hello, he was actually checking my pulse. And he was actually looking at me to see what the pallor of my face was and everything else, because he was one of the doctors in the city that had the power that could say that I could no longer do my job and would have to retire. My own doctors did that beforehand. People treated me differently, not in a negative way, more or less in a concerned way. You know, they wanted me to make sure I was taking care of myself. They didn't like my caseload unless it was necessary. Like when I had another hospital stay, then the chief had me work on a project at the time, you know, for a short period of time until I got my feet back, you know, underneath me, like I was back into a groove so that I could easily transition from being home sick back into an 8-hour day. But strangely enough, it was after I left the city that people kind of treated me differently, and particularly since I developed pulmonary hypertension along with other things. Now there's a visual of there being something wrong, and that's now how people treat me differently. It makes it hard because people look at you when you have a chronic illness like lupus, and they go, well, you look fine, or you look great. And they don't know that, you know, trying to go shopping, you know, made you have to take a 2.5-hour nap. Or like today, I spent all day over at the hospital, and there was no time in between the appointments. I had to go to the cafeteria to get something to eat. The blood sugar was low, and then my heart rate was raised. So, I mean, you know, things like that, you know, the things that you take for granted. And when you look like there's nothing wrong, like, it's almost like they believe you, but they kind of don't, you know? They're like, well, you know, you're still doing your martial arts, Kat. You're still going, I don't know, I went dog sledding. I mean, in Minnesota, and I went to a Japanese archery, you know, monastery, you know, to learn how to do Japanese archery. This is after I was diagnosed, but I had my medications there, and they knew, and, you know, I was perfectly fine to go. But if you're not in the middle of a flare meaning that your lupus active and problems to your body, that's when people sort of say, oh my gosh, something serious is happening. So it's kind of been after people I used to work with that, you know, when they see me now, how are you doing? You know, you look good. And, you know, they kind of, because I retired because of my health, it's like, oh my gosh, it really was health.
I'm never sure whether or not to try and help people who might need it. So I asked Karen how I should try and help people.
I think basically is for people just to sort of be themselves, you know, and not feel like they have to go overboard to make sure I'm okay, you know. Just be themselves and ask this question as opposed to another question. The question that people should probably ask is there anything I can do for you? If you need anything, I may be going to BJ's or whatever, or you know, Karen, call me and tell me what you need, okay? As opposed to what people normally say, which they think the same thing, which is, call me if you need anything. Now, if you say, call me if you need anything, the first thing, and across the board, I've heard people who have lupus and say this, and it drives us nuts. It's almost like a get out of jail free card. I've done my good works by asking you, telling you, you know, if you need anything, call me, you know, so I don't have to worry about checking in again. I've done my good deed, as opposed to saying, if you need something, call me. Well, what do you need me to do for you? You say, what do you need me to do for you? You're kind of leaving yourself open to actually me calling and saying, I need a ride to X place. But if you say, call me if you need anything, it's kind of like, you know, you're not committed. It's non-committal. You're not making a commitment to do anything or to help. And it makes the person who has the disease, it's not like you want somebody to beck and call, but it makes you hesitant to call because you don't want to bother them. One makes you think that if you call them, you're going to bother them. The other one makes you say, okay, I'm only going to call you really if it's an absolute emergency or something wrong. That's when I'm going to call you. Because I wouldn't want to bother anybody at home unless they really needed to. Or if I really needed, you know, say, hey, if you're going to BJ's anytime soon, could you pick X for me and let me know how much it is and I'll reimburse you because I can't, you know, I've got one of my eyes is a little bit wonky. It goes a little bit off. So for right now, I'm not using my Zipcar card, which I've had for a couple of years, but I'm not using it because I don't want to put other people at risk for driving the car. So it's not something that I can get myself. And if I say I wanted a case of, I don't know, one time your mom got some insurance for me, she got a case. There's no way I can carry a case. You're in inner city, you know? It'd be too heavy. I'd need to carry a basket. So I think I would just want people, if they had questions, to ask me the questions, just like you were asking the questions, you know? And you may think of other questions to ask, you know? You know, I think that's where we all should start, is always being willing to answer questions, ask questions and answer questions. Because you don't grow and learn unless you do that. I mean, more people in the state of, you know, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania have lupus than have leukemia. The Lupus Foundation has just changed their motto. The motto is now, help us cure the great mystery. And the P in lupus, they've made it like a question mark. Because the disease is so weird and so hard to diagnose. I mean, it took them a year to figure out what's going on with me. And then it can hit any part of your body. And with me, it's mostly my muscles and my lungs. And so I think, you know, you want to help I want people to help me maintain some normalcy in my life, you know, and authenticity in my life as opposed to treating me differently.
We all have things that happen to us, things over which we have no control. Lupus is a rather extreme case of this. If there's anything that we should do, it's in the little things. Learning how to ask, is there anything I can do to help? Rather than call me if you need anything.